Chapter 10. I went for a walk along the shoreline after that and watched the sun go down over the harbor. I couldn't bring myself to call Marina. It was good that my old man had put everything on the table. He was 40 years old and had grown tired and cynical. Maybe I'd be that way when I was his age. My mom had always been supportive of his battles before. She'd always been behind me, too, in whatever I wanted to do. The windsurfing, the wounded animals I'd brought home, they were both good parents. But now they wanted to cut their losses and split. The more I thought about it, the less angry I was at them. In fact, their logic was correct. Why stay on to fight a losing battle and ruin your life? If it hadn't been for Marina, I know I would have been ready to throw in the towel as well. I watched the beauty of the red sky playing on the surface of the water. I felt the warm air on my face and took a big breath. The wind had come from a direction that left it clean and pure, or so I imagined. I don't guess that there is anywhere on Earth that the air is completely natural. I knew that the planet was in reality a small place. A closed container. On a surface, it seemed like there were good guys and bad guys, polluters and environmentalists. But I knew it wasn't that simple. Dial chemicals made chemicals used in the manufacture of plastics. Plastics were in everything. Cars, TVs, radios, bicycle parts, and sailboards. I was in there with everybody else. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. But that didn't mean we all had to sit back and watch a beautiful place like Rocky Harbor be turned into a hellhole. I went to bed that night confused, real confused. I didn't talk to my parents anymore about it. I didn't call Marina. I just wanted to sleep. I wanted escape. And when I woke up the next morning, I did a pretty weird thing. I dressed in my work clothes, I ate some Cheerios, drank 2 glasses of orange juice, and pedaled all the way to the Shell station where I went to work as if nothing had happened. I pumped gas, put some air in a couple of tires, and checked the oil level in a Toyota Camry and a Dodge Aries. And I decided that for that afternoon, I'd go home and get on my board for a sail. A ripping southwest wind was up on the harbor. Marina called, my mom said, when I got home for a late lunch. Thanks, Mom, I said, and wolfed down 3 serious soya burgers, her specialty. Your father went to the realtor to put the house on the market, she said to me. I stopped chewing and looked at her just then, but she turned away from me. What could I say? My father was selling our home out from under us. That's nice, I said, trying to show no emotion at all. I finished eating, threw my plate in the dirty water in the sink, and grabbed my wetsuit. I started for the door and then stopped. I knew my mom was hurting and I didn't know what to do for her. But I put my arms around her and gave her a hug. Things will turn out, I said. Right then, I was really feeling no pain, no loss, no confusion. It was a thing guys could do. I understood that. When life got too complicated, I could just shut everything off. I could go to work. I could go sailing. Chris, be careful out there. Don't take any chances. Don't worry, Mom. I'll be okay. I always come back in one piece, right? She smiled, but I knew she still worried about me every time I went out windsurfing alone. I looked to the far shore, kicked my board out into the shallow water, set a course for the northwest to tack on the wind, and I was off. I felt the cold, clean air pumping into my lungs, the strain on my right arm, the tension on the harness as I scudded along, barely touching down on water. I didn't look north and east to see the incinerator stack. I could pretend it wasn't there. When I came in close to the far shore, in record time, I might add, I refused to give myself time to rest. I wanted to push it. I wanted to go home with aching, sore muscles. I was in my radical mode, and just as I was about to crash into a big rock, I snapped a full-speed jib, only to have the sail whip again, out of my control. The boom caught me square in the nose and sent me sprawling into the water. I came up sputtering and angry. Nothing was broken. The boom, after all, was only light aluminum tubing. But I cursed my board and cursed my back luck. I lay in the water under the canopy of the Dacrin sail, feeling a little sorry for myself. But I also felt cocooned and cut off from the world. I caught my breath, got my bearings without even looking up, just feeling the wind suck under the sail. As I curled my feet up into the straps, I felt the lift, and I was on the move again. This time I was headed straight out the harbor mouth and out to sea. The water was deep and scary, and I could feel the strange tug of a strong current under me. I'd only been out this far once before, and I again found it hard to adjust to playing the shifting wind and the outpouring harbor current together. I was only slightly more cautious now, but once I had passed the tip of the land and felt the full-on brunt of the sea wind, I knew I had found what I was looking for. Not far around the point was a sandbar. Waves a meter and a half high were breaking there. I'd seen one or two people on surfboards actually surf these waves before, but as far as I knew, no one had ever tried to get any aerial manoeuvres on a sailboat here before. But I had seen people on Wind World of Sports ride waves, using both wave and wind to perform magical feats of the impossible. And I was tired of the world of hope and failure, tired of the dead weight of living with worries about a stupid dumb and poison leaking everywhere. A wave was a thing of beauty, a thing to get in touch with, to match in with end speeds. It was something to make you free. My adrenaline was pumping as I came up close to the cracking waves. There was a little teasing meter high one about to break right in front of me, and I leaned my weight back, got the nose of the board in the air, and shot up the face of it just as it was breaking. I could feel the power, the surge of the white water as it washed over my legs, but my sail had the full energy of the wind as I billowed and pulled me right up over top. I liked the rush of it all as I pulled it in on the sail and settled back down lightly on the water, only to find myself driving up an even steeper wall of water with no time to think. I hauled in on the boom and shot upwards again, this time getting true air time and feeling as lightheaded as the sea wind itself. I raced farther out to sea, made a careful jib, and came about, giving serious thought as to how I would do this. I saw a dark hump on the horizon and tracked it carefully with my untrained eye. This was no element. The sea was a turbulent and unforgiving place. If I wiped out here, I might have a tough time getting back up on my board as waves tried to swamp me. A windsurfer sail can weigh next to nothing on dry land, but if it's full of a few hundred liters of seawater, it might as well be a ton of lead. I played the wind, spilling it to avoid getting too far ahead of this wave I had selected. It was bigger than the others, maybe up to my chin. It rolled and grew steeper as it approached the sandbar. Before I was ready for it, the wave had reached me. We were moving along at the same speed. The wind was in my favor. I dropped down the face of the wave and used my fin to make a bottom turn. Now I was sliding across the face of the wave at lightning speed. If I lost it now, I'd be chewing aluminum and fire glass. I knew that. But the danger made it feel that much better. This was the kick I needed. The wave was a long and perfectly peeling wall. For a loser, I realized that I, for once, was having some crazy luck for a first-time wave windsurfing. The wall was holding, The wind was with me, and the world was frozen into the explosive, shimmering moment of wild abandon. And then my luck ran out. I could see that the wave was now starting to collapse in front of me as well as behind. For a split second, I wished that I had researched this sort of thing more carefully. Where was the handbook when you needed it? But no time for that. I could kick down and fight the white water, maybe get out in front of it and stay dry. Then I would simply head for shore and a nice easy way out. Or I could go the other route. The wave was nearly over my head now as it was about to collapse. I could carve a bottom turn and head straight up to the sky. Not much time to take a vote on it. What the hell, I figured. I pulled in on the boom again, felt the immediate power of the wind, and rocketed straight up the wall of the wave. I cracked through the upper lip just as the wave closed out. Both ends of the collapsing wall had met on top of me. At the split second, I made for liftoff. I had never felt anything quite like it in my life. It was like two giant hands clapping together on both sides of me, trying to crush me in their wet maws. But I held on tight. I had speed and wind. Even the force of the collapsing wave itself had helped to generate this extraordinary leap to freedom. And as the sea smashed itself together in frothing salt spit, thunder and confusing, I found myself tracking skyward. My sail was like a brilliant, powerful wing, pulling me up and away from the danger. I could see above the waves, I could see down the coast, and I thought for a brief instant I could keep going up and make company with the clouds. Instead, the sail acted as a kindly parachute to bring me back to earth, and I made a beautiful splash as I hit the Atlantic. The wind didn't give me a chance to rest, but pushed into my sail, sending me sliding over the top of the incoming swells. No need to break the magic with another attempt, I told myself. The harbor mouth was ahead. Time to turn inland. Time to get back to the real world, no matter how screwed up it was. By the time I came ashore, I was thinking about my father's file concerning the incinerator. It was still sitting in my room. I'd read it all the way through, but didn't understand everything. I had become caught up in other things, and I almost forgotten about it. Back in the house, I pulled out the pages that were most important. It was time for Marina to read them. That meant another bike ride to the drugstore and a long session popping change into the photocopier. It was getting late, and I was tired, so I decided I shouldn't go over to her place just then. Instead, I pedaled back home. I was also feeling guilty again about holding onto the borrowed file. I wanted to sneak it back into my old man's office before he realized it was missing.